Hey, it's Chris Jones, co-host of the Jones Zone podcast, and this episode is brought to you by the Jones Zone Real Estate Team. So if you're looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate, give us a call, 803-810-2230, or head over to our website, thejoneszones.com. That's the Jones Zones with an S, .com. All right, enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Sure. Did you get that cough out of your system?
Yeah, it's out.
Can't be coughing when we go live, man. Let's do this.
It's out.
All right. Let me do my 3, 2.
Sorry. Go ahead.
3, 2, 1, hit it.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, your real estate advocates, community connectors. Today we got an interesting one, man.
This
I don't want to be rude. How's your day been, Brian?
Well, if you really cared, that would have been like the first thing. You wouldn't have to like stop yourself. I'm just kidding. But you know, my day is good. It's good.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a good weekend.
Do you feel like I asked you enough questions?
I'm ready to get started.
Okay,
on this topic.
Good. Me too. All right, today we are joined by Randy and Ebe Habfast Madison, who are the owners and operators of XRVR Esports Lounge and Virtual Reality Arcade. So, nuts and bolts of that is it's kind of a mobile VR gaming system which is available for all sorts of conventions, charity events, birthday parties, family reunions, private parties, and more, I suppose.
You name it.
So, yeah, we're here to hear their story. Randy and Ebe, welcome to the Jones Zone. Pleasure to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So that was a quick, brief introduction, but if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about who you guys are, some of your professional background, and how you got started doing virtual reality and XRVR.
All right. You want to go first? Okay. I'm Randy. And this will be my first real business. So I've always been the employee, and now I'm the owner, so I'm really excited. But we started this about 5 to 6 months after we got our first VR headset, and we fell in love with the medium. It's incredible the sense of, immersion you can get. And like when you're in a room with another human being, in VR, there's a connection that you can have with people in the same room in real life through the headset. And it's really cool to see how people empathize with others while in adventures.
Someone in the VR game gets shot or something, and you're looking at somebody and they're like, "Are you okay? Like, what do you mean? Like,
oh my God!
Are you okay, dude? Stop the game!
I've fired a few guns. I've been to some shooting ranges. And in VR, there's a game called Onward. It's a military simulator. Pretty realistic. And in there, it's the only game where when a shot rings out and it flies by your head, I twitch. I'm like,
oh wow!
You
hear
it.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been doing this for probably 5 months now, 5 or 6 months. And we're only mobile right now. And hopefully in 8 to 12 months, we'll have our permanent location somewhere in Rock Hill. And we'll be open for everybody.
So when you get this permanent location, what's the goal? Are you going to have like green screen set up?
There will be some mixed reality in there. Okay. The XR of our XRVR is a kind of an umbrella term for augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality. So we kind of want the lounge to have holograms, some mixed reality aspects where you're watching your friends play the game. And then, of course, we'll have a bar so you can loosen up a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Not allowed to drink too heavily and play VR, though.
There are restrictions.
Hey, man, you broke the equipment, dude. Getting all mad and stuff. All right, so you guys are a husband and wife.
We are now.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
It's coming up on 3 weeks, right? Something like that?
It's coming up on a
week and a half.
A full 2 weeks on Saturday.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Where'd y'all get married?
In Lancaster at Andrew Jackson State Park.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, and then we went to
Viking
Maggie Valley.
Wedding.
Yeah, we had a Viking. I'm super into Skyrim.
Skyrim? What's Skyrim?
Skyrim is the fifth installment of the Elder Scrolls series, a game by Bethesda Studios.
Do y'all like Game of Thrones?
Amazing. I love Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
if you love Game of Thrones, play Skyrim.
Okay, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it.
You will love it. It's first person. It's actually available in VR. And you basically get to be a Viking. Like, you get to be something called a Dragonborn. You fight dragons, and, like, it's magic and elves, and I'm super into it.
Arrows, swords, whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's...
Giant
any
RPG.
Game by Bethesda in general is going to be great. They made the Fallout series.
Okay.
So, which is also amazing. It's basically the same thing as Skyrim, but a post-apocalyptic world. That's also available in VR as well. That one's terrifying. Their games... are super fun to play, but once you're in VR, they immediately become horror games. And they're a lot more intense than they are in normal Xbox user world, so...
Have you ever had, like, nightmares from VR experiences?
Thankfully, I have not.
No.
Not yet, at least.
No, yeah, they're intense, they're scary, but I haven't had nightmares, I wouldn't say, no. I definitely wouldn't let younger children play those kind of games, though.
We have a game called Dread Halls that we like to put friends in. It's a game where you're walking through a labyrinth. You can't fight anything, and all you have is a lantern that's slowly running out of oil, and you have to find... essentially, it's a severed eyeball, and put it in some magic flames, and it opens up the next portion. Yeah. But watching people try and play that game, you walk around the corner, and something materializes in front of them, they're like,
"Aah!" It's very similar to the game Anemia. Which had more like a Lovecraft kind of feel to it. But that one's got more of like a Greek mythos feel to it instead, but it's still equally as terrifying. Because you'll be going down a long hallway, just walk in, it's silent, and all of a sudden, like in the distance, you'll just see something huge just run across the hall, and it's like, well, I'm turning around. I'm done here. Yeah. I can't play it. I physically can't play it. I tried, and I took the headset off, and I was like, I'm not doing this.
She loves watching people play it.
I'll watch people play it all day and scream and cry. I love it. I love watching people be terrified, but I don't want to do it.
So, you guys you're obviously gaming fans and stuff, so you were just kind of living your life as normal, and then you liked VR so much that you're like, man, I want to turn this in. This is my passion. I want to turn it into my business so that I can do what I love to do every day.
Yeah.
And so what was kind of the first step in making that happen? I mean, you sat down and got a business plan together, or what'd you do?
Yeah, essentially I looked at what they were doing over in Asia and Japan and things like that with theirs. Saw how it kind of took off and how it started in Europe, and started looking around in America, and there just wasn't very many. There's one in Greensboro, I believe, that's a converted tanning salon. And it just has you in these tiny little rooms by yourself in a headset. It wasn't very social.
Yeah.
And we've seen some other ones where they try to mix food in with playing VR and things of that nature. And we decided, well, in Rock Hill, we know a bunch of esports people. We know people who play Magic the Gathering. They all need places to play these card games and stuff like that.
And somewhere to be together.
Yeah, we thought, why don't we combine the two ideas?
Yeah, because in Europe, they have esports bars. Like a normal sports bar, but it's esports.
So what's esports? For people that don't know, what are esports?
It's competitive athletic level gaming. Yep. So there are people who do this. They're legitimate athletes, and they play video games professionally, and they get paid for it. They're getting ready to do it in the Olympics. It's huge. Asia's like really the place where it's huge. It's taken off really well in Europe. America's still the only place where it's kind of shaky.
They're getting more and more colleges on board with it. They're starting
they're
to build.
So when you said they're athletes, do they train for this?
Yes.
Yep.
Like how?
They do.
Like you playing video games, or are they
essentially? Yeah. You sit down with a coach who's usually coaching the entire team, and you go over tactics.
X Y, you idiot. Move those thumbs.
And go over strategy. In the game, Overwatch is like the big one for me. And Overwatch, a lot of it is composition as well. Like, who are you playing, and how can these characters work together to get the most effective strategy out? Or, you know, how are you going to make it work on this specific maps and knowing a strategy and how you're going to take it and how you're going to counter. So it's a lot of strategy in it. So it is a sport.
The teams in the Overwatch League right now are getting paid $55,000 a player plus room and board.
Dang.
And then when they win, they get cash prizes. So the Overwatch finals was, $1 million?
over. Maybe. I think so. Yeah, because you got... Ooh, I don't want to say because I'm not super sure.
Well, it was...
I know they got paid.
A million plus.
Yeah. Is this what's on like ESPN? That I saw. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And ESPN shows stuff like League of Legends is another big one amongst Overwatch. StarCraft is huge. A lot of people say that StarCraft is almost kind of like
esports is coming out of nowhere. There's a ton of money in esports right now, and it has blindsided a lot of people.
And so, your facility ideally is this going to be somewhere where people can train, or somewhere where people can watch esports?
Yeah,
or both?
We do want to have memberships that are available to esports athletes, so that way we can have one day a month at our facility where only our athletes can come in, and they can network, they can socialize, they can train, they can have access to coaches, and different stuff like that, and even form teams if we have athletes who don't have teams to be a part of.
We're working with Winthrop right now because they're seeing. How much interest they can raise in doing their own esports program. So we'll help them...
Graduate from college with a degree in esports? Is that what you're saying?
Well, maybe not a degree, but a program as in you could go in as an athlete with an esports scholarship or something of that nature.
Oh, okay.
Just to have a team. They would have an esports team because there's already a couple of colleges on the West Coast that have legitimate esports scholarships. If you're an esports athlete... you can get a scholarship and go to college and join their team. So there's varsity teams that make this available now. And some high schools are taking it up as well.
Yeah.
So they're starting their own teams, and then they get their athletes, they train, and then they
Where was this when I was a kid?
I know.
Same here. Yeah. Same here. Yeah,
well, you know, it's so funny because my son recently, when I asked him what he wanted to do when he grew up, he said he wanted to play video games. And I thought to myself... I thought to myself, like, it's really unique to be like almost like the first generation of parents that's like, all right, cool.
Well, you get in there and play those video games.
There's
an esport guy. Like, you can't tell your kids. He's a streamer. I wish I could remember his name. He's like fairly new, and they did an interview with him, and he was like, yeah, I told my mom this is what I wanted to do. I begged her. I said, I'm gonna quit my job and I'm gonna do this full time. And she's like, if you're successful, you could do it. And then in the first 2 months, he had like. Was already getting sponsorships and like had crazy amount of followers just from streaming Fortnite, I think it was, which is the next thing coming up in esports, quite possibly.
Parents are hiring coaches for their kids to come in and train on Fortnite.
Amazing.
How do you
world.
Get to be an esports coach? I mean,
I guess, well, for starters, you have to prove that you know the game and you have to be really good at it. And they're even starting up the VR esports leagues, too.
Winning tournaments.
This past Friday, they had one of the biggest VR esports tournaments between a whole ton of worldwide VR arcades. I'm not sure what the numbers were, but they were playing, I want to say, Beat Saber. Sadly, we couldn't participate in it.
Beat Saber's super popular. That's the one you see like all over YouTube because it's like a rhythm game and it looks like you've got lightsabers.
And you're slashing notes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
All right. So describe virtual reality a little bit to people. I know this is an audio show here, but like, other than the headsets, like, what all goes into this VR world? Like, what can people expect if they're getting immersed in this?
Well, specifically with room scale VR, it doesn't require a phone or anything like that. It requires a pretty beefy PC, or you can do it with a laptop. And we're going to have what's called arena scale VR when our lounge opens up. And you'll have a backpack PC on with your immersion suit. So you can actually roam around a 30 by 30 foot area with your friends and shoot and stuff like that. But the lighthouses, which are independent of the headset, we set those up in the room. And those bounce infrared radiation around the room, which then hit the glass mirrors. Are the reflectors on the headset and the controllers, and those triangulate your position. And then the PC does the rest, puts you in the environment. Everything, of course, is 360 degrees in there, so you can look in every direction. And eventually, they're going to come out with the Vive, the one that we use, controllers called... I can't remember what they are. Grips or something like that, but they track your individual fingers.
Jeez.
So you'll be able to see your hands
wow.
a lot better in VR. But Yeah, that's the gist of it. You get an open play space, minimum about 5 feet by 5 feet. Put the headset on after the setup's done, and you can immerse yourself in just about anything.
You're in the world.
Yeah. Google Earth VR is a fun one for people because they can just fly around the Earth, dip through the Grand Canyon.
They can fly?
Like it feels like they're in a jetpack or something? Or what do you
kind of, yeah.
Oh.
And then you can, they even incorporate Street View. So you can drop down onto any street in the world.
I want to do that.
Take a look around.
I want to do that.
It's pretty neat. There's a new game out, too, that we got to get pretty soon called Megaton Rainfall that basically makes you like Superman or Goku protecting the planet from an alien invasion. And what I've seen of it so far, it's pretty neat. It's really fun. You can level entire cities while fighting these giant aliens.
I'm ready for the new Marvel game.
Yes.
We get to be like Thor.
So where do you get these games from?
We get them through Steam, but of course with...
What's Steam? I don't...
Steam is... PC users would know it. It's where you get most of your PC games. You can go in there and, you know, they save your credit card information and all that. Make it real easy to download and play them.
You can group up with friends, add friends, share games. Yeah. Like, you know, PC gaming community.
And when we're... when we're charging, we use a program called Springboard VR, which is kind of a go-between between VR arcades and the developers, and they help us track time so we can pay the developers what they need. You know, we play, they do a pay-per-minute kind of thing, so we pay a certain amount per minute, and then at the end of the month...
So we're not necessarily using someone else's game just to make money. We make sure they get paid.
Yeah, that would be legal.
Yeah, they get paid for allowing us to use the games that they've made.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm understanding that.
What did your friends and family say when you told them that you were going to open up a XR VR place?
Well, our friends thought it was super cool. Yeah. They knew what it was and they knew what we were talking about.
People our age. Were like, yes!
Yeah, yeah.
As far as maybe our older generations, our parents were, they were supportive but confused. Yeah. I'll support you. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like you're having a good time.
Yeah.
Be safe. Yeah.
We've got our first investor too, and with that we're gonna open up essentially kind of a mobile VR unit truck, where we can pull up kind of like a food truck, and people can jump in the back.
Yeah,
and we'll
have
our omnidirectional treadmill in there, and then two racing stations. We're gonna develop the game later, but we'll have a game that incorporates all of those.
Yeah, we'd love to work with developers in making games that could be exclusive to just our lounge.
Yeah. But we need room to move all this equipment around, so we figured we'll get a truck, and then we thought, well, why don't we just set up in the truck? And voila, get an AC in there.
So if you get hired by a business that maybe doesn't have the play space, because that's usually the difficulty. That's why people in their homes and businesses don't have it themselves, because you have to have...
That's why
X
we do
amount
a lot
of space.
Breweries.
Yeah, so people who don't necessarily have the space who hire us, we can just pull up outside and we'll bring the space with us.
I've seen a lot of video game trucks, so I mean, it's definitely something that's being
there's
done.
One in Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte has a big one.
They usually just bring.
But it's like.
Xbox.
You sit on a couch playing console games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want to take it up.
That's more than taking it up a notch.
For gamers, it's all about that immersion. How deep in this game can I get?
Yeah. Like, so what are some of the places that you're taking this? I know I mentioned it a little bit, but I know you've done conventions, and what are some other things? How are people booking you guys, and what all are you available for?
They can book us through our Facebook page or through our website. Contact us through Gmail, things like that. But we've been to the Lincolnton Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
We've done an event with Winthrop in McBride Hall.
Yes, we hosted a viewing party for the Overwatch League finals at Winthrop in McBride Hall.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we partnered with their athletics department for that. That was super fun.
We've been to Cavendish Brewing. We've got two more events with them. They're in Gastonia. We're looking at another brewery in Lincolnton, and we've done Revolutions down in Rock Hill. That was a lot of fun.
So when you say you've done them, does that mean like they schedule you guys to come out for 5 hours, or like how does that work?
Roughly, yeah, we have a 2-hour minimum.
They can hire us outright with a singular payment, and then we'll let their patrons play as much as they want, or the other option is we come in and charge the patrons directly.
Okay.
Those are the two choices that they have.
Yeah, I think... oh, and then we do some art gallery events also in Lincolnton.
In Gallery 27?
Mm-hmm. Our friend Stacy owns it, and when she jumped into it, we showed her this thing called the Night Cafe, which takes a bunch of Vincent van Gogh's artwork and brings it to life, kind of in his style, and you get to walk around this cafe.
Yeah, you walk around the cafe, and it's got characters that he's painted before, but they're moving around like actual people, and you look out the window, and it's Starry Night.
Oh,
so we were doing three events for her.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's so popular about breweries? Why does that loan itself to what you do? Just the space and stuff?
Yeah, a lot of breweries that we find are, they have vendors come in, you know, artists and things like that, and so they always have a lot of space, either in the back or up front. Cavendish has a lot of room up front. And that really just allows us the elbow room to get in there, give people a big play space, let them walk around.
And to me, having a VR night at a brewery or at a bar is like almost no different than if you had a karaoke night or a trivia night or a game night. It's just
it's added VR value.
It's added value to someone to go to. Like, I know I go to karaoke. If you did a VR night, I mean, it's the same thing. It just gets your gamers out.
Yeah.
Also helps us kind of balance our idea with our own lounge when we start serving alcohol. Mm-hmm.
Right,
we can
tell,
oh, this person, a little bit drunk. We know where they cut off.
So what are some of the age groups that you guys work with? Sounds obviously adults if you're going to breweries, but what's kind of the youngest group of people that can enjoy this safely?
We go for about 6 and up, depending on the maturity, and definitely if they have a parent watching them. But we're like hawks too, so we're in there.
Yes.
But typically it's 10 to about 39. So we haven't had any...
I'd say 10 and...
Anyone in the 40s is like, no, I'm too...
On up forever. Yeah. Like...
It's the older gents who step in like it. My boss has tried it. He flew around Google Earth. He absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And his wife tried the plank. And she,
I can't wait to try that plank.
She fell down. I was like, oh my gosh. I guess she had gotten hurt, but she was okay.
Her knees just came out.
She got very scared and fell down. But we had a padded floor, so it was safe.
It's so funny to me, and I should not say this before I actually try it, but like, to actually feel like you're scared, like this.
Palms be sweating.
That's so intense, man.
Yeah, you can do it without a physical board, but with the physical board, your brain just locks it in so much better. Your brain completely accepts virtual reality. Because
at that
point,
three of your senses are being tricked.
Yep.
Like, which ones?
Because you feel the board, so your sense of feel, you have it. And then hearing, because it's got a sound like wind, and you can hear the cars, like the cars down the street below. And not only that, but visually you see it. So your feel, your sight, and your sound are all being kind of tricked into this is real.
And if you're real brave, I suggest trying to step off.
Yeah, you can jump off too.
That's so crazy to me.
I know, right?
Because all I would be doing is stepping on my floor, but like obviously it messes with your...
It's still, when
perception.
You hit the ground, my knees still shake a little. Because I can walk out on the plank just fine now, step off, fall, but as soon as I hit it, it's like...
That is insane. Have they done studies to like how VR messes with your brain like that? I mean,
definitely.
Is this...
They've done a few.
Definitely.
How is it compared to like taking a drug or something like that? Like,
I don't know if they've done that study yet.
But I know they use it a lot in therapy. Like, especially for people with PTSD. They use it a lot for therapies like that, or like...
There's some international groups doing empathy stuff too.
Yeah.
They've got some...
They filmed the Syrian...
Yeah, the Syrian conflict. They followed a teenage girl, and you can see that. I cannot remember the director of that, but that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I love it.
We really want to open up a lot of these empathic pathways, basically, so people can connect with other people around the world. We think it'll help
VR would be an amazing step for like education and journalism and stuff like that.
Kind of like you're in school and you want to learn about, you know, what's actually going on in Syria, and you can put on something
and then you're in
actually
Syria and you can see events happening. Or you can get a 360 camera really and pop it up anywhere and make it for VR and you can put it on and you're there.
We know some schools that are attempting to dabble in VR, so if like a poor school, you can't travel a lot,
right,
throw all the kids into a VR headset with the teacher in charge of it and they can be transported anywhere.
I'm excited because I was gonna say I love history, so I can't imagine like putting it on, talking about the Civil War, and then like seeing it happen, like being at Gettysburg, like having someone direct it and film it, and then you can be there and see it happen. Would be amazing.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was kind of the future of VR, but I guess you kind of nailed it with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty neat, man.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty
totally.
Cool.
Lots of educational purposes.
Well, the possibilities are endless. I mean, mm-hmm. especially when the technology, when it gets to the point where it needs to be. And it's always evolving, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Getting cheaper,
smaller.
Cheaper, smaller, more efficient.
Who's the leader in VR? Is that, like, that's not the U.S., is it?
Like VR creation, like
I have no idea what that question even means, but like,
Well, when it comes to like sales for headsets and things like that, I believe Vive, the HTC Vive, the one we use, is sold the most. And I think Oculus is a close second.
And
is
then there, it would be the PlayStation.
But is there like a figure, like, you know, driverless cars? You got Tesla and Elon Musk. Is there like a person that's spearheading this whole, or is it just a bunch of people?
It's a bunch of companies.
Yeah.
And really, it's, I don't want to say they're struggling, but consumer VR it's gotten off the ground, but it's not where they thought it was going to
mm-hmm.
be. But the VR arcade is coming out of the background, and so they're kind of changing their focus.
Mm-hmm.
Because the VR arcade gets people on the headset, we're kind of like ambassadors. And then people will go, well, how much does that cost?
Mm.
And
they
may go out and buy one.
Yeah, but it's still definitely something you got to save up for, and definitely something you have to make.
Space.
The space is the biggest thing.
That's probably.
Even if you can afford all the gear, how much space do you realistically have? Like, we stay in the spare room and sacrificed our master bedroom. That's our VR room, so now we have the whole room.
It's all covered
VR.
In green screen.
Yeah, lucky we have a two-bedroom house. So we stay in the smaller bedroom and use VR for the large one. So, but then when it's like, really, how many people have that extra room to give up just for VR? Like, just to play the game. So that's really the biggest struggle for most people. Because they go, oh, the computer, I can afford that. VR, I can get that. Yeah. Okay, do you have like 5x5 or 10x10 amount of space? Oh, well.
Yeah, we've got two
really.
Stations in our master bedroom. So we can play multiplayer games.
Yeah,
stuff like that. We've got
a
YouTube channel that we haven't really put tons of focus on for the moment.
But
typically, we've been doing a lot of events. Typically, we'll bring people into our house. We'll play a bunch of video games, record it, and then throw it up on our YouTube.
What's your YouTube channel?
The Butthole.
The Butthole?
Yes!
The Butthole.
The Butthole. Got it.
You ever seen, what is it, The Good Place?
It's where we hang out with our buds.
Yeah.
The Butthole.
It's also fun to say welcome to the Butthole.
That's funny.
But that was more of our test, the XRVR YouTube page is where we're going to put all the major stuff.
Gotcha.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, let's take it home. I could talk about this all day, but I don't want to torture you guys. It's so interesting to me. But all right, mind everybody, what's your company's name, how they can get in touch with you, and most importantly, how they can make reservations or appointments to hire you guys.
We are XRVR, Esports Lounge and Virtual Reality Arcade. We can be found at xrvrcade.com. Or on Facebook, just search XRVR, and you can make reservations by messaging us through there on Facebook, or email, which is xrvrcade@gmail.com, or through our website, xrvrcade.com.
Sounds good. Well, Eve, Randy, thanks for coming on the Jones Zone. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.